You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last month, Justice Minister Andrew Little introduced the Terrorism Suppression Control Orders Bill to impose restrictions on New Zealanders suspected of terrorism-related activity overseas in returning home. This came shortly after Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern warned extremist Mark Taylor, who's currently believed to be detained in Syria, that if he came back to New Zealand, he would face the full force of the law. Parliamentary submissions on the bill were open recently for just 5 days, from the 6th to the 10th of November. The New Zealand Law Society presented its submission to Parliament's Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Select Committee yesterday, recommending a number of changes. Their concerns regarded the broad definition of terrorism, beyond that in the existing Terrorism Suppression Act, extending to people who have been prosecuted but not convicted for terrorism-related activities overseas, also by making what is essentially a criminal offence a civil offence. Suspected terrorism would be denied the rights normally associated with criminal law, such as the right to remain silent and the right to be innocent until proven guilty. Beyond the concerns around substance, the Law Society noted the urgency with which the bill has proceeded, saying the short 5-day window for parliamentary submissions meant that the bill could not be adequately scrutinised by the public. Earlier today, I spoke to Jeff McClay of the New Zealand Law Society about their submissions. He began by telling me about the Society's concerns around the human rights implications of the bill.
The Law Society's concern is that the bill further muddies the distinction we normally have in the law between what we do in the criminal courts and what we do in the civil courts. So this bill and these orders involved the use of the civil law, normally the law was between private people, but yet if you look at what the bill does, it essentially asks the court to declare someone a terrorist and impose on them quite significant penalties as a result, and it does that without the normal protections that one would associate with the criminal law.
And so what would those sorts of protections look like?
Well, the principal one that many people know about is the burden of proof. So this bill expressly provides that the court will make a determination on the balance of probabilities rather than the normal criminal standard of beyond a reasonable doubt. And lots of people will know that that's quite a high standard, a deliberately high standard in our law. And the civil standard is deliberately somewhat lower. Now, the government has said, and indeed members of the State Committee said yesterday, that the difficulty that they have, which I think is a legitimate one, is that sometimes it may be necessary for us to want to control people. We can't prove to the criminal standard that they are terrorists, but we have a very good idea that they are terrorists. What the Law Society was saying, if that's true, we still need to have significant protections, more protections than this bill provides in relation to how the court will go about assessing that and how indeed the case we brought before the court. So we would like as much criminal protections as can possibly be feasibly put in, given the nature of the issue in front of the court, this difficulty of being able to establish beyond a reasonable doubt someone is a terrorist or the need to act quickly. So that was principally our submission yesterday, was the Select Committee should try and put as much protections as it possibly can into this bill.
And what would you say to people who would say that it's somewhat justified to limit individual rights in the case of such a legitimate national security interest as terrorism?
Well, obviously, and as the Law Society said at the beginning of its submission yesterday, it's important to keep New Zealand safe, but it's also important for New Zealand to be true to its own values. So what we were saying is, yes, let's deal with the reality of this, but our concern with this bill was we thought that there was more scope for protecting individual rights, even given the parameters of needing to act quickly, than is done in this bill at the moment. And so one of the things which we suggested was that the drafters consider making those protections much more explicit rather than essentially just telling a judge to make an order or giving the judge the ability to make any order whatsoever, to tightly circumscribe what that order might be, but also to say that these really are criminal procedures and that with that come the normal criminal procedures. One of the things we talked about yesterday in great detail was if someone is charged with a crime in New Zealand, they can access criminal legal aid, and there is a set procedure for that. It is true you can get civil legal aid, but that civil legal aid is much harder to get, and there is a much less established procedure by which you can get that legal aid. And so one of the things we were trying to make a very strong case for was make sure that these people, or this person, is able to access legal aid so that they can get a lawyer, and the lawyer can make proper representations on their behalf. I don't think that's a... not giving them criminal legal aid is not something we need to sacrifice because of the national security concerns.
I noticed in your submissions you brought up the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, and I was wondering how that comes into play.
So the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act is an ordinary statute, but it's a very important statute, and in particular it sets out the protections that we all have, and in a number of sections it sets out the rights that we give and we recognise in relation to those who are being investigated for crimes. Now, the way that Bill of Rights Act is written, those extra protections that people who are accused of crimes get are dependent upon there being a criminal investigation. And so one of the things we were saying yesterday was the statute should make clear that even though this is a civil proceeding, those rights that were normally associated with a criminal procedure, the right to lawyers, the right to silence, all of those things should come with this proceeding, even though, strictly speaking, it's being classified as a civil proceeding.
Right, and same too with sentencing. I noticed you were saying how the sentencing under this proposed bill differs somewhat from that we'd see under the Sentencing Act.
So our principal concern with that is that the Act currently, the bill in Clause 16, I think it is, provides a number of orders that can be made by the court, and those are very much simply lifted, it seems to us, from the Sentencing Act. And of course, the Sentencing Act is preconditioned on there being a criminal conviction, and there would be no criminal conviction in this case. But perhaps most importantly, our concern is that Clause 9, I think it is, says that the court can impose really any order that it thinks is necessary, rather than restricting, as we restrict under the Sentencing Act, the sentences that a judge in a criminal case can give. This has no such restriction, and the Law Society thinks that that's completely inappropriate, that we need to constrain what judges can do, because just like everybody else, their powers ought to be constrained.
I also noticed one of the problems that you had with this under your submissions was this broader term of terrorism that seemed to be different to that under the Terrorism Suppression Act previously.
The Terrorism Suppression Act has a particular definition of terrorism. It also has a different definition for those terrorist acts committed overseas, which we are prepared to prosecute in New Zealand. So that would be a narrower subset of even what a terrorist act is under the Terrorism Suppression Act. What the Law Society was saying yesterday was that there may be problems with the definition of terrorism in the current Act, and this definition has proved to be very difficult to apply in practice, and that's being reviewed at the moment. What we were saying is, rather than using this very quick bill to extend that definition, it should rather wait for the proper policy considerations and public submissions and comment that will occur during the general review of the Terrorism Suppression Act. Our worry is that this, if you like, is getting the cart way before the horse in terms of the policy process. The real work needs to be done in the Terrorism Suppression Act review, and once we've done that, we will have a much better idea of how we ought to be defining terrorism for the purposes of these orders.
So that obviously ties into your main concern around the procedural side of things, that this bill has been rushed through with a sense of urgency and, because of that, some lack of public scrutiny. Why is that a problem?
Well, just to go back, one of the very best things about the way New Zealand Parliament operates, I think one of the greatest things about our democracy, is the select committee process. So unlike almost all other countries I know of, private citizens are entitled in New Zealand to go and make submissions on bills. And if you go to these hearings, they are great occasions, since the parliamentarians, almost always without regard to their party, take submissions seriously. And they all work very hard to make sure that the bill can be the best possible bill, so it can become the best possible law. The problem with the period that was given for submissions is something like 5 days. And it's very difficult to review complex legal rules, as you can imagine, in 5 days and try and figure out what all the implications of a particular procedure are going to be. It just takes time to make good law, and I think 5 days really wasn't long enough in this case. And I suppose that many of us were disappointed that the government didn't justify that in Parliament in terms of why that was a necessary period.
I mean, I guess what is a concern with this particular piece of legislation is that it's being made in response possibly to a specific event or individual, that being Mark Taylor. How does that have a negative effect on lawmaking?
Well, certainly, I'm not sure about Mr. Taylor, but the documents that accompany certainly do talk about the crisis in Syria and the potential return of people from that. Obviously, it's better to make laws in advance rather than in reaction to particular events. And I think the whole lesson of this process was that the Terrorism Suppression Act has been creaky for a very long time, and perhaps we ought to have got on and reviewed that properly quicker. That doesn't help the government at the moment, which is faced with the problem that they've identified and the fear that if people were to come back, we might not be able to deal adequately with them. So it's a question of getting our policy process perhaps a bit more active in terms of being able to think of what's coming down the pipeline at us rather than just being a reactive lawmaker.
The Law Society mentioned in their submissions that they suggest that the bill is subject to review in 5 years. Why is that?
Well, this is a really second-best suggestion. So what we were trying to say is that this bill really has been rushed, which it has been. If it's imperfect, which we suspect is always going to be given the period of time that we've had to consider it, at least we put expressly in there what lawyers like to call sunset clauses, that we will force a proper review within a period of time so that it doesn't stay on the statute book forever, as it were. And we would hope, I suspect, that regardless of what's passed the next week or the week after next, that perhaps the whole thing might be reviewed as part of the general review of the Terrorism Suppression Act that the Ministry of Justice is currently conducting. So the sunset clause is really just to make sure that that review happens. There are some concerns with sunset clauses. Sometimes they can be used as excuses for not getting the law right in the first place. And secondly, there's a bit of a history of New Zealand Parliament simply rolling these clauses over, but we were suggesting it simply as a device to sort of focus the ministers' and the parliamentarians' minds that really, at best, this is a temporary band-aid and we need to come back and look at this more properly when we have more time to make sure we get a better law ultimately passed.
Just finally, I know the likes of Geoffrey Palmer seem to suggest that in New Zealand we have a bit of an affinity for passing legislation under such urgency. Do you have any ideas as to why that might be?
I actually think the evidence is that these things tend to be relatively rare, and they tend to be rarer than sometimes we think that they are. Sometimes when you get these quick things, it's like what's happened here. There is been a problem. We haven't really been able to focus the policy apparatus as we might like to on fixing that problem, and suddenly it flares up and we have to do something, so we reach for a band-aid. And in New Zealand that band-aid can be a law because it's relatively formally easy to pass a law. But could I just say, a bit in contradiction to my colleague at the law school, Geoffrey Palmer, that that's not what we normally do here. That actually the New Zealand tradition is of good lawmaking and very good policy process. And it's often easy to sort of say, well, we have these examples like this bill, and that proves that New Zealand somehow is in the business of making bad law. I'm very much of the view that actually this is the exception rather than the rule. And the rule is actually it takes a long time to get a statute through the policy process in New Zealand. It takes a long time normally to get things through the parliamentary process. But there's no question that every now and again one of these things comes along where that process hasn't worked and we end up doing something faster than we really ought to be doing it.
That was Geoff McClay of the New Zealand Law Society. He also informed me after the interview that despite that short window of time to make submissions, Parliament still received over 100 submissions on the Terrorism Suppression Control Orders Bill. The Select Committee will report its findings, and those will be released in December.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.